Hey everyone, I'm Mia Suzanne Walker from Suzanne's Band.
This is David Arkenstone.
This is Jane Monheit.
This is Liz Kennedy.
This is Cliff Beach. You're listening to the Sounds of Christmas
podcast.
Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I am so excited to have Suzanne from Suzanne's Band back on the podcast. Hi there.
Hey. Nice to see you again, Ken, and hear your voice and talk about Christmas.
Yeah, I am very excited. You had told me in confidence earlier this year that you were looking at recording some new Christmas music, and I've been very good and I have not spilled the beans. But now everybody's going to know. And I do want to get to that, but I want to go back to the first two Christmas singles to kind of sort of set the stage. So One More Night of Christmas was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you decide not just that you wanted to record Christmas music, but that you were going to write an original?
Yeah, I mean, I had this idea of doing something that was nostalgic. You know, I always thought, you know, the Carpenters had a lot of longevity with their Christmas songs. And I wanted to try and write some Christmas music that hopefully would be played year after year that didn't really have something that defined it too much for the generation that it was in, you know. And I started writing about just what Christmas was like in a hometown. You know, you see the town square and you see the decorations and, you know, how all that feels. And so it just kind of came about from that. And for originals, I was wanting to write more original music anyway, because that's what I set the business up for, was to be able to write original music and then perform it and have it played and hopefully make somewhat of a living doing that and applying the creative processes and things that I feel like I've been blessed with to be able to do. And so that's how that one came about.
And I love the sentiment of it, that you want one more night of Christmas, because I'm always thinking that it's always such a mad rush.
Yeah.
And then here it is. It's Christmas Eve already. How did that happen so fast? I want one more night.
Yeah.
I always feel that way. And I the song really captures that. And mm-hmm. I don't know that there are a lot of Christmas songs out there that do get that. I mean, lately, in the last 10, 15 years, there have been ones talking about don't rush and it's not about the shopping and all of that, and I know that, but there's so much to do anyway, and a lot of those songs are talking about the slow down and take it easy and whatever, but really what most of us want is just one more night of Christmas. And yeah. I just think that captures it. I don't know if that's what you were shooting for, but it captures it so well.
Yeah, because it seems like when you finally get everything done and you have Christmas, you're finally relaxed enough to enjoy it. And so, you know, you feel like you need one more day just to have all the experience without all the stress, you know. Yeah. With all that behind you and the anticipation and whatever else was going on. So, yeah.
Was the style of that song, was it, I know that the music that you do is not necessarily typical in any one particular style or whatever, but did that really fit with other things you were doing at the time when you were recording it, or was it sort of different?
At the time, yes. Production-wise, you know, I was just starting out, so I didn't know a lot of what I needed to do as far as, you know, getting into a particular niche anyway. So, and with Christmas music, you can kind of put it, it kind of goes into the traditional pop category anyway, like for the Grammys and different things like that. That's kind of where it gets thrown into, for the most part. And so it seems like no matter what genre it is, unless it's hip hop, I don't know where that would go particularly in all that with holiday music, but still, we'll find out more about that, I guess, this season, if it still gets put in traditional pop or which way it goes. But yeah, I just felt like by making it separate like that and not necessarily genre specific, that it would also get maybe played a little bit more, you know, in different places, if I didn't make it necessarily one way or another.
Yeah, I think it really fits in just about to any format, really.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I really love about Christmas music is that it can be so varied. Mm-hmm. It can come from all different sort of genres, and that's fine. You could put out a Christmas album that has, you know, everything from some kind of pop or ballad to blues to whatever, and it could all go together, and that's fine. You can't really do that on any other sort of album.
No.
Because, you know, everybody wants to put you in a box of, you know, you're an indie artist or a singer-songwriter or roots rock or whatever, and all those are supposed to be different things. I was going to do a podcast, and I just didn't have time to write it all, about all of the different charts that Billboard has, because they used to, you could count on one hand the number of the kinds of charts they have, and now everything is split and split and split again. And just Christmas music used to just be with pop music. And pop, and that was because it was popular.
Or classical. You had the Living Strings. Yeah. You had Perry Como. You had all the jazz influences when it originally started out, or Elvis or something like that. You know, and that was kind of it.
And then they took it out, and they made Christmas music its own thing. But that mm-hmm. wasn't enough. So there's this kind, and there's that kind, and it's crazy. And you go on to, if you go to Billboard's website now, and I'm not singling out Billboard, but they're probably still the standard for music charts. But if you go there and you look up Christmas on their different charts, you will be surprised how many different kinds of Christmas music charts there are now. And it's just, and it's crazy. But along comes the next one, not to try to reel myself back in. The next single, Underneath the Tree, which is what?
Kind of an about face.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
You know, going a
it
different
was,
direction on
it. Yeah, it was a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. How did all of that fall into place?
I was listening to a coffee shop station on Sirius FM where they were playing coffee, you know, house type music, and I thought, wow, that would be really cool to have a guitar part and do a Christmas song that was just kind of, you know, lighthearted and just a little bit more intimate. You know, it kind of draws you in more than just in your face. And so I started writing Underneath the Tree, and again about, and I kind of made it more personal too. It was about all the things that I had on my Christmas tree. I have in the lyrics, it talks about, you know, a manger underneath the tree and red and green lights and an angel that's, you know, kind of sways around on top and all these different things. And just the focus on the reason for the season and all that is the people that are around that tree and those that you love and love you, you know, being part of that season. So it was a really cool song. And I think, again, it's because of its generic quality. I think it'll be played for years to come.
Yeah. And it, you know, it, it like One More Night of Christmas, it fits in any format where Christmas music is played. It would absolutely fit right in. Doesn't matter what kind of stuff they play the other 10 plus months a year, it would work. I think I noticed, if I'm wrong, I'll just cut this out so everybody doesn't know. But I think that you have posted on your YouTube channel covers when you did concerts. Am I right? Yeah. Have you thought about releasing, I don't know, Suzanne's band does Sleigh Ride or White Christmas or something like that?
Yeah, I've thought about doing that maybe with a Christmas album. I almost have enough Christmas songs that, you know, you could almost put them into an album and then maybe do some covers in there with it, you know, Christmas songs, and complete it out that way. So that is kind of a thought, definitely, for the future.
Okay.
Do something like that. I'd have to take a look and see which songs are, you know, sometimes there's rights and things involved with them where you can't do things, or where you have to pay fees, or, you know, whatever happens. So I just want to make sure that obviously the open domain ones are the easiest ones, you know, because there's nothing attached, but there's only so many of those. And a lot of people cover those because they are open domain. So you hear, you know, 50 bazillion versions of Go Tell It on the Mountain or whatever.
Yeah, but if you want to have yourself a Merry Little Christmas, or the Christmas song, or Jingle Bell Rock,
prepare to pay.
That's right. It can get pretty expensive. I also think that I had seen that your Christmas singles have been picked to be on some compilations which is very cool. A great way to find new people.
It sure is. You know, it's been great to have not only those songs, but songs off the last album, Ice and Fire, out there on all these compilation albums. So I'm hoping that all the new songs will do well too, and get picked for some of those, and that they'll gain some traction that direction too.
Okay, so the moment we've all been waiting for. You have new Christmas music on the way, and not just one song this year, you've got two.
That's right. Double your pleasure, double your fun.
I can't wait. I don't know titles yet, so I will leave it to you which one you want to talk about first.
Right. Yeah, the first one is called Falling, Falling, Falling. And it's about the snow falling and then just, you know, falling in love with either the season or another person or what have you. And again, you know, what you're seeing about the decorations and the holidays and that sort of thing. But it's really cool with both of these songs. I had a chance to go out to Las Vegas and work with a guy recommended through my music promoter, and it was nice to work with somebody on, you know, just kind of cleaning up some chord structures and maybe how you started or ended a song, or, you know, maybe moving this here, this chorus here, that bridge here, you know, doing things like that to make the song a little bit more interesting and, you know, go someplace different than what you thought. And even with this song, what we thought was the hook and just something to come after the choruses, the music producer that I'm using suggested we start the song with it because he thought it was so cool.
Oh,
so he thought, yeah. So we thought that was really cool. And I don't know whether you can even hear any. I didn't want to play it on the computer because I thought, well, you know, I didn't want to have something get lost in the mix on that or something, or you not be able to hear it. It's just basically, it says this, you know, fa la 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 la, fa la 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 la, fallen. And you hear some bells and things going off in it, but it's just a really cool little left turn, so to speak, in the song that's different from your just standard, you know, verse chorus kind of thing. So, but the producer on all these songs plus my album is Dale Penner, and he's actually based out of Canada, and he's worked with Loverboy and Nickelback, did some things with them, and then most recently Wendy Mouton, who was a runner-up on The Voice. And so I felt really excited to be able to work with him on this project, and I think we've come up with some cool stuff.
I can't wait to hear it. What's and what about the other song?
And the other song is my first foray into a kind of pop shuffle hip hoppy kind of thing. And that's kind of the direction that several songs went for the new album. So it's kind of pulled into some of that. It's also kind of got this almost like Kelly Clarkson kind of vibe to it too. Kind of bouncy and upbeat. When I was trying to get Underneath the Tree out onto playlists and everything, a lot of people would say, well, nice song, but it's just not upbeat enough for our Christmas playlist. I'm like, gee whiz, you plugged into 100%, not even 100% of the time, are we? Okay. How about it? You know, so I thought, okay, I'm going to write something that's, you know, better, you know, faster than anything I've ever done. So I came up with this one, but this Come Down for Christmas is the other song. And it's about somebody just wanting everybody to, you know, come down where they're at for the holidays and spend some time and hang out, no matter, you know, which way it takes for you to get down there, whether it's by plane, cruising, a train, taxi, bus, whatever the case may be. So just getting there for the holidays. So holiday travel.
So we're recording this at the end of July, and yeah, it will be posted next week, the first week of August. Where are you now with these songs? Are they in the can, done, ready to go? Is there still a little, I don't want to get too inside baseball, but is there still a little stuff that you need to do?
Yep. There's still some vocal things that have to be finished up, some background vocal parts. I think there's one keyboardy thing we're missing. And then after that, it's pretty much ready to be mixed and mastered, which doesn't take a whole long time to do for two singles. So that's why right now we're anticipating an October 15th drop date, but we'll kind of see. Hopefully nothing will happen to slow that down, but that's the goal right now.
I mean, I know stuff happens.
Yeah.
I remember I've had people on before who have talked about that they have most of the recording done and they're very excited about this, and they named songs and everything, and then stuff happens. And I get that, but you're pretty confident these are both going to be out in October.
Oh, yeah. I mean
I'm not trying to jinx anything.
Yeah, no. As far along as they are, I'm pretty happy about it. With Come Down for Christmas, for the artwork, I'm actually going to have a photo shoot next week and have it look like I'm on the sleigh, you know, but it's really a sports car, you know, instead of a sleigh, and the reindeer are in front of the car, and I've got, you know, presents in the back, and I've got these funky, you know, sunglasses and, you know, Santa hat and all this jazz. I mean, it's going to be really cool. Really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Really cool being the operative, because it's probably going to be 100 degrees. You know, people don't think about that it's July or August when you're, you know, putting the finishing touches on this stuff.
Yeah. But thank God for air conditioning, and I will be indoors, so that's a good thing.
let's backtrack a little bit, because at the end of July, these are just about done. Mm-hmm. When did you start?
Well, the writing process, I mean, Come Down for Christmas, I had actually started writing it in March of 2021. So, you know, that's a ways out there. And then I rewrote it again in 2023. And then we kind of, you know, really rearranged it and really got after it, of course, this year in May when I did that little conference, you know, for songwriter cleanup, which worked out really great. So that one was over time, whereas Falling, 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 I just wrote it out of the gate. It hit me after the Christmas season when I had packed everything up and, you know, you're kind of in that January blues kind of mode. Mm-hmm. I wrote it out in just like within a day or so. I mean, and songs are like that, you know, some, you know, it takes years and years of going back at it and chipping off of it pieces at a time. And then others just pop out in 5 minutes. So you just never know.
And when did you get in the studio to start recording them?
The studio days were July 7th, that whole week. Okay. We did 2 days of practice, and I actually had my studio band come here to the house, and the music producer was down from Canada and staying here locally in this side of Houston on the west side. And we had the band practice here for a couple of days to go through everything. And then we went into town to the recording studio at Lucky Run and then did 2 days of recording. So, you know, got it all done pretty quick. It really helps when you've had those 2 days of practice. And I'm better about knowing what I need to tell the band and the places to stop and, you know, start and where they need to go music wise and all that. And after this many years of working together, it clicks pretty good. And I fed them cookies. They survived. I had a friend of mine make these homemade cookies. And because it was July 4th, they were all patriotic and had a big old tray of these homemade cookies out there that are, you know, frosted and just mouthwateringly wonderful. And when we were done at the house, I took the cookies to the studio and put them on the table there. And they could, you know, run out and grab one in between practices and runs and everything. And we got to the final day and it was that afternoon and I went and got the last cookie off of the tray and I said, oh, I can tell the week's almost over. We're out of cookies.
No Christmas cookies?
We're out of juice.
No Christmas cookies?
No, she didn't make any up. That would have been nice, but you know, next with time. All the other songs on the album too, I guess. We just needed a pick me up in general, but it worked out okay.
You know, it's funny. Everybody has something that they do to sort of get in the spirit when they're recording Christmas music, because mm-hmm. It does have to happen most of the time. It has to happen off season. Every mm-hmm. once in a while, somebody will get an idea and hop in the studio and record something and shoot it out in December. But that's very rare. I know that when Mel Torme was working on the Christmas song and it was the heat of summer and they had Christmas lights up and everything they could try to do to be cool. A little more recently, Rob Thomas had giant TV screens with Hallmark's Christmas in July stuff playing in the studio to sort of help keep them all in the spirit. So everybody does something, whether it's Christmas movies or cookies. You got to do something to sort of get in that frame of mind, especially when it's 110.
Definitely so.
So Falling, Falling, Falling and Coming Down for Christmas are both on the way in October, and they're not even out yet. I mean, I'm going to want to talk to you again in a couple of months when they're all finished and ready to go and everything.
Yeah.
But I can't help but asking, you know, are there Christmas ideas already percolating for what's to come?
Funny you should say that, because, you know, when you open the portal like this and you do an album, it's amazing how you already, you know, or thinking about other things. And I haven't always done that in the past. It hasn't always worked this way, but I found with this album and these Christmas songs that it was kind of a weird experience to have that happen. So yes. And as a matter of fact, today I just kind of did a recording of the next Christmas song for the next recording project, just so that I wouldn't forget it. You know, it's really easy to go back and look at something I've written and go, what the heck was that melody again? You know, so always I've learned my lesson. If I'm going to write something as detailed as that, to be sure that I write down a beat that I used and record something so that I can go back and listen to it and kind of jog my memory, you know, when the time comes to do something a little bit more with it. So yes, one more Christmas song, and then I'm already working on the next album. So it's going to be great.
That's very exciting. And I'm not trying to pin you down or anything, but do you think there'll be another, this Christmas song will be out next year, or?
It depends. Typically I record 1 year and then promote the following year, just because it takes so many months to do all the promotion for all the different songs. So that's kind of the rhythm. And financially, it kind of works out that way too, you know, where you have a year to kind of recover from the recording process because of how expensive that is. And then, you know, get ready for the next set of projects. So that's kind of the rhythm. And that's worked out pretty good, where you can still space out some time for family life with four kids and four grandkids and just life in general. You know, when things happen like that, it's, you know, there's always something that interrupts your creative process, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, things happen. Yeah. Weddings, funerals, whatever happens, birthday parties. And so there's always something to be distracted by, I guess.
Yeah. You know, life is what happens when you're busy making plans.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
So aside from the Christmas music, what else have you got cooking?
Well, this is really interesting. My music promoter said, instead of doing a multi-genre kind of thing with my albums, which I normally do, he said, try picking one particular genre and run with that, just so it's a little bit easier for promotion purposes. So I kind of thought about what fit my identity the best with vocally and everything else. And it kind of fell more into that country pop vibe, kind of, you know, a cross between maybe Shania Twain, Sheryl Crow, and a few other things in between. So it was a little bit trickier, you know, to create songs that were all in that genre. But, you know, and I'm kind of like a female Jimmy Buffett. When I perform live, that's kind of what I get matched with, I think, vocally and style-wise, just kind of that easygoing, beachy vibe anyway. And so there's some of that. There's a couple of island songs in there. I love writing about going on vacation, like the original Down in Mexico. That was one of my first ones I wrote. So there's definitely going to be some more vacation songs on here. Lots of country pop. For the first time ever, I've got a banjo on this album. We'll have steel guitar to give it those country textures. And the other cool thing, for the first time ever, I played acoustic guitar on this album, and I've never done that before. You know, somebody else has always done everything or whatever. So that was kind of cool to be able to have that on there this time.
Nice. Does this album have a name yet?
Yes, it's called Bandana Woman.
And I'm guessing 2026?
Yep, first part of 2026. Right now, the target date is the end of February. So, again, cool. It just depends on if we get all the instrumentation finished out that we want and taken care of. And there'll be a special little fun surprise guest guitarist, and I can't wait to talk about that. So I'm going to tease with that, and we can talk about that more. I want to leave something for the next conversation for sure. So,
okay. I can't remember, so this may be something else that I might have to take out. Are you on Bandcamp?
Yes.
Okay. Because Bandcamp is I think, kind of important, for especially for indie artists.
Yeah.
Because more of the money goes to you than than the quarter of a quarter of a quarter of a quarter of a cent from from, say, Spotify. And Bandcamp so also has those the first Friday, is it, where they waive whatever their fees are, so there's even more. So it's way too early.
Easier for people to buy things, I think, on Bandcamp. They can actually just, you know, download any of the music or the CDs really fast. And that's another cool thing I love about it.
Well, it's too early to put a link to the new Christmas songs on Bandcamp because they're not there yet. but I will put a link down in the show notes to your Bandcamp page and your website, too. Because the other great thing about indie artists is it's great to buy directly from the artist. Yeah. So I'll put both of those down there. Anything that I missed or just that you wish I would have asked about the new Christmas songs?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think we pretty much covered everything. I guess the big thing is just finishing everything up and getting them ready to be released at this point.
And then I'll be ready to play them starting on November 1st when the new season of The Sounds of Christmas begins.
Yay!
I can't wait. And this is a very unfair question, so it's okay if you don't answer it. But of the four Christmas songs, do you have a favorite?
Yeah. I mean, I think Come Down for Christmas, hands down, is just, I mean, you can dance to it. You can sing along with it. I love the upbeat quality of it. I love the chord structure to it. I mean, it's just a really cool little song. And so I have high hopes for it, and hopefully it'll do well out there and everybody else will love it too.
Okay. Well, if I remember, you'll get to hear that on November 1st in the morning, sometime between 7 and 8 Eastern. For the first time.
Now, the funny thing, when we were first starting to play that song, Come Down for Christmas, out in Las Vegas where I was doing that session, the guy that I was working with was playing on a grand piano, and the top was open, and he reached over and he started plucking the strings inside the piano, you know, like for this beginning sound that you're going to hear in the Christmas song. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'd never seen anybody do that before. And I thought, I need to do that. I've got to be sure those strings are in there because that sounds awesome. So yeah, they're on both verses.
Cool. I know we're far from December and typically you do some Christmas shows and I'm sure the two new songs are going to be part of that.
Yeah, I hope so. Goodness. I mean, I usually start playing things, especially when something new's coming up. And if it's out, even better. Any shows I've got around the mid part of October, I'll probably start pushing, you know, saying, hey, you know, these songs are already out for the holiday season. Please go download, add them to your playlist so that you've got them whenever it is you feel like you want to start hearing holiday music. Because some people, you know, it's across the board. Some people are first part of November, you know, I'm on it. Some like, I can't listen to it after Thanksgiving. I've got to wait, you know, I've got to have my seasons in order, you know, so it just depends on the person.
Yeah, I always say that, you know, the new season of The Sounds of Christmas starts on November 1st. And I know everybody's not ready for Christmas music necessarily on November 1st. I get that. I don't expect everybody to be ready for it. But I am, and there are some people who are ready. So I'm playing it, and whenever you're ready, come on by, and we're ready for you, and you can listen. Whether it's the middle of November, whether it's Thanksgiving weekend, whether you're waiting for December 1st, whether you don't want to even think about it until your Christmas shopping is done, whatever the case is. There's no right answer.
Yay.
But anyhow, what's the best way for people to find you?
Facebook is really good, and it's just your usual address and then Suzanne's Band Music, for sure, for live shows and any show announcements, all that sort of thing. We do have a mailing list, and you can sign up, do that on the website, which is another great way of looking at things. That's just suzannesband.com, so that's nice and easy. And they can sign up there for the website. And then once a month, we usually send out something. We don't, sell your information. We don't give it out to anybody. It's just a once a month thing that we do to let everybody know, hey, this is what's happening with our music, new music that's coming out, just different things like that. And so that's a great way of learning more about what Suzanne's Band does and where we're going to be next.
Nice. I'll put links to all of that stuff and your Bandcamp page down in the show notes and your YouTube channel, because I talked about that too.
Okay.
I'll put links to all that down in the show notes, so everybody who's listening, you can just look down there and click on over and listen to lots of great stuff, not just Christmas music.
Yeah.
But you can listen to the Christmas music too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your almost released Christmas singles. I can't wait to hear them.
Oh, I know. Me too. I'm really looking forward to these.
And thank you so much for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And I'll put a link to that down in the show notes so you can click on over, find your favorite, and click there, then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this episode on your phone, you can also click the Send Us a Text Message link and connect that way. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.